are trying to get through this world and survive. And God, you bring hope because you allowed your son to be born a babe, to die a king. God, I pray that we adore you more than song, but Father, we do with our lives. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Romans, Revelation chapter 4. We're going to jump into 5 tonight, but I wanted to clarify, and I'd mentioned, Rodney asked a question last week about the 24 elders, 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 apostles, a possibility. And I was going to wait till chapter 9 to deal with that, but we're talking about it again in 5 and again in 4, so I thought, you know, let's look at that a little bit, and I'm going to give you what my opinion is of the 24 elders. We can go back and forth. There are many, many better scholars than myself have argued this issue, and so I'm just going to give you what I think and what I believe, and some of the gentlemen that I study with. How's that sound? The different guys I study with, they all seem to be on the same, I seem to be on their wavelength. Again, many greater scholars than myself. But first of all, I wanted to just explain the 24 elders. We saw them brought in on chapter 4. And again, we realized the church was in chapter 2 and 3. And then the church we find in heaven in chapter 4. So something happened between the end of 3 and the end of 4 with, we see in verse 1, he looked up, behold, a door open in heaven of chapter 4. The voice I heard was, it were a trumpet talking with me and say, come hither and I will show thee the things which thou must be or must come hither. So obviously we believe that's the rapture. The rapture had taken place and so the church is now in heaven. And then that's when the 24 elders were introduced, and around this throne that he had seen, the 4 and 24 elders, or 24 seats, and upon the seats in verse 4, I saw the 4 and 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So just by understanding this verse alone, I think it's going to help us determine a little bit about what the 24 elders are, who they are. We're going to see them again in chapter 5. We're going to see them again in chapter 9. We're going to see them again in the end in chapters 19. So the 24 elders, first of all, I'm going to give you some ideas of others, some what other people think. Some think they were angels. They were just a representation of the angels. Well, we know that that can't be because the word elder was given to them. Angels have no time. Angels are the same age and look the same the day that God created them in Genesis chapter 1. Wouldn't that be nice? No, they're not growing old, not like us. But, we know there can't be angels, and some have said that they are. But those who believe that they were angels also usually are in the camp of no rapture. Because if there is no rapture, then you have to explain who these 24 elders are. And the only thing that fits is they're angels. Because if you put any saints to them at all, then you have to agree with the rapture before the tribulation. So anyone who says they're angels, you'll also understand, I think a lot of them, and I'm not dogmatic in saying 100% of them, but a lot of them will believe that there's no rapture. So they have to. And again, what I'm finding out are there are individuals who come with an already preconceived idea. And so if their idea and what they're defending is no rapture, then they have to define scriptures with that definition. And it changes the meaning of scriptures. If you do not let scripture define itself, if you do not allow it to describe and illustrate what it is all about, then you're going to have a hard time with the consistency from Genesis to Revelation about the truth. So if they believe in angels, a lot of times they will believe there's no rapture. So that's one of the things. One of the other theories are that they represented the church, the raptured church. So we're going to look at that theory in a minute. The other one is the 12 represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and that the 12 also represent the apostles. The problem with that is, go and turn to chapter 9, verse 9. There's one major, I think, problem with that theory or that thought process. In chapter 9, verse 9, again, we're talking about the elders. We're talking about what they were doing. That's not the right one. 9:9. No, that's not the one I want. Where did the verse go? I had it wrote down. Verse 9. No, I think it's the wrong one. That's chapter, let's go to chapter 5. It's the one I was studying that they're going to be doing. And they were asking the questions. Bold the brain, befilling. Oh, man. They sing a song to him. Chapter 9:8. Yeah, 5:9. I don't want to get the 9:9. 5:9, that's what I'm looking for. Yes, they sing a new song, I'm sorry. Yeah, if you look at chapter 9, and again, that's we were heading into chapter 5:1 to tonight. But they said they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and every people, and every nation." So if those 12 represented any part of Israel, or all of Israel, then that verse would not work. The song that they sung is they are a representation of, again, they listed every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation. So they're not Israel, because at this point in time, Israel is separated from that concept. I mean, there will be saved Messianic Jews in heaven, but God is dealing with the nation of Israel on earth. So the nation of Israel is not represented or not brought up into heaven when the church age is. And so I believe, my personal opinion, what I believe it to be is that the 24 elders represent the church. They talked about the church in chapters 2 and 3. The church is now raptured, and now they're saying in heaven there are those seats, and there'll be the 24 elders there. And I think that, I believe it represents the church. It goes in the context of the chronological order of the scripture. And also with that song that is being sung, it doesn't apply or would not apply to Israel. It would apply because the church age started when? At the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. So that's when the church age started. So anything beyond that or ahead of that, more so, was God dealing with Israel as a nation. And so with that song they sing, it's hard to depict that any part of the 24 elders would represent Israel. Because a Messianic Jew that has accepted Christ is not known as an Israelite as much as they are known as a child of God, like you and I are. Because there's no, once accepting Christ, there's no ethnic distinction between the children of God. We're all the children of God. So Israel, and as known Israel, is not represented in the 24 elders. They will be represented later, but they're not represented in the 24 elders. Because, just simply because of the song they sing. So that being led, allows me to come to a point where I really believe that it's the church age being represented by the 24. So when putting that into perspective, we saw how they, the beast there was basically in verse 10 again, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him and living forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast..." Oh, what? Okay.
Of
divisions of the priesthood level.
Is there something about that they were related to the... I can't... you went past me so fast I didn't catch that word. But...
I can't...
So that was one of the ideas of what the priesthood elders were. And I never heard of the 24 divisions or 24 levels or whatever of the priesthood.
I honestly don't remember how I worded that. That's what, I'll have to listen to it. I'll pull it off the archives and see what it said. Yeah, because the elders, and again, there's better scholars than I have discussed it and argued through it, but I think if the elders represent anything of Israel, and I can't remember how I worded it or how I would have said it as far as a level of, it could have been some of my wording.
I was thinking about, I don't know what that means, and then it was gone, and I never rewound it.
All right, I'll look into that and get back to you. I'll have to re-listen to my own deal here and get back to you. But, yeah, I mean, and again, I think it's important to try to understand these as best we can, because it does then go on to depict as they sing them. But the next phrase, oh, another question? Yes, they are, but that's only 12. That doesn't represent the whole 24. Well, they would be, because they are the church age. But to say that the 24, 12 and 12, half apostles, yeah, half and half. Yes, yes. So, yes, they are part of the church age, but I believe they represent the church. They don't represent the 12 and 12. Yes. There is not, there's, well, it's a church age. It's not, each church is a representation of the church age and how throughout the church age they have responded to Christ. What would be a church age? They just, the 24 elders that represent the church. And here's another, let me get to the next point. It may help that. Because when they go into verse 10 and they explain the crown, okay, you need to understand in the Greek that crown, or how they say about that crown, it's not in the Greek a crown of authority. It's not a crown that you win, you get because you have some status. It's a crown of victory. So who gets the crown of victory? You and I. Paul says we get the crown of righteousness. We get the crown of victory. Why? Because he was victorious. We are victorious. So again, it's another signet of the church age. And it's the chapter 2 and 3 represented... Again, if you go back and look at every one of what they did, you can see a falling away from all through the representation of those churches. So it's not about a church. It's about the whole church age. From the ascension of Christ to the rapture, which would be the ascension of his church. When he ascended, he's going to come down and meet in the cloud. We will ascend with him. That's the church age. So it's a representation of the whole. So the 24 elders there are representing all of church age. It's not a I don't believe it's a number of significance. We'll get to, again, we'll study through that a little bit more. We go back into chapters 9 and some other things of their what they do. But it's a representation of every tongue, every nation, everyone that lived on earth will be represented in heaven. And, you know, we also have the theory, some believe that in mission work, that that's why mission work is so important, because everybody will hear and have an opportunity. But then you go into Romans chapter 1 and 2, and I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's the case. not everybody will need to hear for everybody to be represented in this group. Not everybody of every nation, it's going to be a representation of, and again back into verse 9, every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So there will be a broad salvation for a world of people. When did that happen? It only happened in the church age. Up until the ascension of Christ, and in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, it was all Israel. I mean, it was all about Israel. And yes, there were Gentiles that were saved. There were other people outside of Israel that were saved in the Old Testament times. And some of those are even in the genealogy of Christ in the first book of Matthew. So there are some of them there, but when it talks about every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, every, it's a period when the word of Christ, again, how was it described in verse 9? Who redeemed us, that was slain, that's the cross, who redeemed us was the blood of Christ by the blood. And so that's talking about the resurrection. That's talking about the beginning of the church age. Not prior to, even though the Old Testament saints, are going, their faith, Hebrews chapter 11, it was Abraham and Moses and all of them listed there, it was their righteousness was accounted by their faith in God. Yes, the blood of God covered them once the resurrection took place, but it was their faith in the Old Testament because there was no blood to lean on at that point in time. So all of that coming into a, I believe, a conclusion of it's a church age because that's what's in heaven there at this point. If it's a representation of all the Israel, then who's on earth during the tribulation time? Who's getting the wrath of God? Back up one more question. What is the tribulation time for? What is the purpose of, as Daniel said, what is the purpose of the tribulation? God prophesied through Daniel, through all of them, that it was for Israel. The tribulation was for Israel. He was going to put them through this because of their rejecting him. So, are there going to be Gentiles in there going through the tribulation time? Absolutely. Anybody who doesn't have Christ accepted prior to are going to go through the tribulation time. Again, it's not for the church age. It's for Israel. So, if Israel is represented on the heaven at this point, who's on earth other than the unsaved Gentiles? Are all the Jews saved? Then all of the Jews will not be in heaven here. So you got to sort of all put it together, okay? You got to put all the pieces together. Let the scriptures will teach the scriptures. And so we know that just because they're a Jew does not mean they will be in heaven at the rapture. The only way you're going to be in heaven at the rapture is if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior through the blood. And that's exactly what verse 9 says. You were slain. We are redeemed through your blood. That taking place, then you will be in heaven at this point in this time. So, again, that's why it's not the 12 and the 12, because the 12 nations, 144,000 are going to walk into the millennial reign. So Israel is going to be dealt with. That's the whole reason for the tribulation. So when they're being dealt with on the ground, we're being dealt with in heaven. And again, the crown is a victorious crown. What do we do with that crown? Well, it says that we will lay it, not so much in this passage, but the other passage we're going to talk to, it lays them at their feet, right? The 24 elders take the crown and lay it at Christ's feet in worship. And so we talked about that crown or that crown of righteousness, what we lay at Christ's feet are all the things that we have done for God on earth. Tried by fire, come out gold, well then there are crowns and rubies and jewels that we'll lay back on Christ's feet in worship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. There'll be individuals saved during the tribulation, those who do not take the mark of the beast. And another, and here again, this is like, it just webs out there, okay? If we say everyone will have a chance to hear the gospel message before the rapture, there can no one during the tribulation time, no one can be saved. Because once you reject Christ and then the rapture happens, you're done. So if you think that everyone has to hear and some will be saved after, then you believe in a second chance salvation, which we know in Scripture that isn't true. So there's a lot of little intricate parts into this. Yes, there will be many saved during the tribulation time. But I believe those are the ones who may not have, that did not hear, because God doesn't guarantee that. And nowhere in Scriptures that everyone will hear, at least not before the rapture. Well, hey, everything that we live through in life is unfair. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, let's go to another little weave of layer. Now you're looking at the omniscience of God, of knowing who would accept him and who would not. Yeah. It all makes sense. It all makes sense when we get there. Yeah. Well, and again, yeah, I agree. It's very difficult because we have so much of the we have so many of the pieces of the puzzle, but we don't have all the pieces. And so, when you understand from Genesis to Revelation the best you can, some of those pieces. And one of the key things I'm finding out that is very, very important is we need to be able to think through to the logical conclusions of our belief. Because if you don't think through to the logical conclusion, then you'll say, well, that's unfair. Everybody should have a chance to hear. Well, if you think that through, then you're saying a second chance salvation, because in the tribulation time, someone will be saved. Well, we know that's not right. So therefore, somewhere along the line, our thought process is going a different direction. So is mission work important? Absolutely. But a guarantee, I still say that it's the heart of God's children that determines the timing of the rapture, not how many are saved or how many need to be saved or how evil our world is. I still believe it's the heart of the children of God that are no longer representing him well. And he says, all right. I don't believe that, but go ahead. Well, that's what we need to find out. We need to dig through that, because I haven't been able to find the definite reason why it was 24. So, yeah. There are some people who do nothing but live their whole life trying to figure out the numbers of the Bible, and I'm not one of them. But I don't know. I'll keep looking and researching, trying to. I don't know why 24. Yeah. Well, it helps, Larry. Somehow I'll figure out how, but somehow it helps. Yeah. Well, and see, you can go back into the numbers of Scripture. There's a reason why 7. There's a reason why 3. But what are they all? I don't, you know, we only know some of them. Yeah. No, I'll keep looking. I'll keep researching. Y'all keep looking and researching, see what 24 means. It's, you know, the most sensible and easy answer is 12 and 12. But yet it doesn't fit with Scripture. So it can't be 12 and 12. Because it doesn't fit within the rest of what they're doing. And again, this is all, tribulation don't start until chapter 6. So everything they're doing in chapter 4 and 5 is, the whole meaning of 4 and 5 is to prove who's worthy to begin chapter 6. Who is worthy to open up the scrolls? And Kim and I were listening to a message. It was kind of cool that in the Roman way of doing things, the scroll, the seals, they actually did at least 6 or 7 seals on every legal document in the Roman time. But they would open it up a little bit, and then some would be sealed. And then they would break the seal, and they would open up more, and some would be sealed, and open up more, and some would be sealed. So this concept of the 7 seals as it begins one at a time, they understood that well, because that showed that nobody could just open it up, read it, and close it, because each seal then would be broken. So it's a progression to know the whole story. All of the seals had to be opened. And then when they stored the scrolls, they would write on the outside, and we're gonna see all this, but on the scroll on the outside, because we're already done tonight pretty much, but I knew this was going to be a good question. So, but on the outside of the scroll, they would say something to identify what's on the inside. And so when we get into the realms of who's going to open the scrolls and who's going to, it says on both sides of writing, they understood that. They knew exactly what that was, because on the outside it says, he's the one worthy. And then when the seals are broken, chapter 6, the beginning of the wrath of God, because remember, what's going on the first 3.5 years of tribulation? Peace. This is going to jump into chapter 6. It's going to jump into the wrath of God. The seals are going to start to be broken open. And now chapter 4 and 5 is going to simply prove that he, Christ, is the only one worthy to begin to open the scroll. He is the only one. In their mind, it would be like you opening up a will or you opening up a sell agreement. You're the only one that's allowed to do that. In fact, humanly speaking, it's kind of interesting. When Kim and I got married, I wanted to marry us, and they said, you can't. You are not allowed to have your name on both of those lines. You're not allowed to be the one being married, and you're not allowed to be the one officiating. You can't do that in a legal document. Christ can, because he's the only one worthy to have it done. That's what the scrolls are all about. That's what he's going to do when we find him opening them up. So that part of it's important. So we know what that scroll is, and we know that the seals are everything going on. And so, again, we're going to go down through in a couple of weeks because it's already 22. But going down through the weeping, John wept. And again, verse 5 of chapter 5, and the one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion, basically of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loosen the 7 seals thereof. He's the only one worthy to do it. His name is inside and his name is on the bottom line because he's the only one worthy to do that. So we'll get into that next week, but research some of that. See what you find about on them 24 elders and why they're 24. Today's technology, you can Google it. You'll get a lot of opinions. Another question. Yes. Okay. Okay. Every if I'm going live right now in my message to every nation, does that mean everyone in the nation is going to listen to me? It just doesn't necessarily have to be that every person will hear. Because again, you got to understand that second chance salvation. Now listen, if there was a second chance salvation, I'd be playing the world until I saw something happen. Why not? Well, I realize that, but if I know that I can be saved, I'll go through a couple rough days and get saved. I mean, just the logic of a second chance salvation doesn't make sense, and it's not biblical. Because if you reject him, you reject him. That is what is called the unpardonable sin. God will not forgive you if you reject him. How can he? Because you're not going to accept the blood of Christ. too late, exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, you can just imagine all the can of worms, we could say, that would open up for individuals today. Well, if I preach a message like that and say, listen, it's so important that you all get saved today, but don't worry about it, because if you don't, when things get real rough and the rapture, when we all leave, then you all come back into church and get saved. Well, that don't even make sense. You can't. So if there's no second chance salvation, then there has to be some people who haven't heard in order to be saved, Gentiles, to be saved in the tribulation time. So, yeah. Well, when or at this point, every nation will hear, but that don't mean everybody in the nation is going to be saved. There are many, you think of the islands in Papua New Guinea. I mean, they're reaching one or two, three tribes, but there's many more tribes. So maybe not everybody will hear. But eventually, they'll be able to make a choice. See, if they don't, I look at it, if they don't make the choice this side of the rapture to accept Christ, they're going to have a choice to accept by rejecting the mark of the beast. They're choosing to accept Christ. And so that's what the two witnesses coming down to do what? Not just to Israel. The two witnesses are coming down to witness for Christ, period. They kill him on the streets. They rise it back up. And so there's a lot that you got to really sift through. And again, nothing can be cut in stone and dogmatic, because we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. We have enough to understand, but there's so many more that this floats all around. And so to me, two things, and I'll pick up where Eunice was going. One, make sure you're saved now. And you don't have to worry about that. Second thing is, become a pan trip. It's all going to pan out in the end. Those are the two easy, best answers I could give you. It's all panning out in the end. And we know that we are going to be in heaven. And so some of these things, again, I think when we get there, you know, everybody says they have a lot of questions they want to answer and all that. When we get there, it ain't going to matter. We're not going to have the same mind when we get there. And you better believe it. That's a good thing. The body will be better, and so will the mind. So there you have it. Can't wait to get there. But